Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the rock? Or on the sinking sand? Are you building on a firm foundation? Are you building on the sinking sand? You think you've got religion? Are you worthy of the master's plan? Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the rock? Or on the sinking sand? Do you ever call on Jesus, asking for his mercy? Do you ever call on Jesus? He'll hear and answer your prayer. Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the rock? Or on the sinking sand? Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the rock? Or on the sinking sand? Or on the sinking sand? Or on the sinking sand?
That was Are You Building on the Rock by Southern Express.
Good morning. This morning I would like for us to look into the subject of Bible faith. In particular, I would like for us to think about the shield of faith in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, considering this shield of faith, we have several statements in the Bible that I'm going to go to in pretty rapid order. But to set it all up, I would like for us to look at it in this way. I want to talk about faith because there is such a spirit of defeated attitude which is running rampant among people. Many people who are supposed to be Christians, members of the Lord's church, maybe for many years, have a defeated attitude and a spirit of defeatism when it comes to many parts and aspects of life. Well, my children aren't turning out like I thought they would, so I guess this Christianity stuff is just, all for nothing. Well, my job is, I'm not happy at it, and it's giving me all kinds of problems, and it's making me feel kind of depressed and everything. I just feel like I'm just caught up in the grind. Well, I guess, the Lord isn't going to help me out with that. People go on and they think about their own personal lives. Well, I prayed, but I still got sick anyway. Well, I guess, the Lord's not going to help me out with that. And you can go from one part to another part of a person's life, and pretty soon they develop a spirit which acts as if they are not going to receive any help from God. They don't seem to have any kind of trust that God is with them and that He is behind them in their endeavors in life. I would like for us to approach the Bible subject of faith from that standpoint. How can we overcome the spirit of defeat? How can we work on our attitudes to make sure that we have a greater trust in God, that He will take care of us? For some reason, many people do not draw a connection between the idea of faith in the Bible and being able to have a good outlook on life with an approach to life that says, I trust that the Lord will take care of me and give me everything that I need. Many times it may be that people just don't understand what faith is and what it can accomplish. This morning, I would like for us to look at the subject of faith and to look at it so that we understand exactly what the Bible means by it, and also for us to realize that Bible faith is a deep and abiding trust in God which results in us having a better outlook on life. We understand that the Lord's church is here for a good purpose and does accomplish good things when we have true faith. If we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we understand that the Lord's purpose in this world will be done, and that His will and His ideal will, as it is done in heaven, should be done upon this earth, and it's our job as Christians to make this world just a little bit better as a result of us having been here. I would like first to begin in the Scriptures in Ephesians chapter 6. He talks there, beginning in verse 10, about Christians putting on the whole armor of God. So, in verse 10, he says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is part of the problem that people have right here. They don't see the fight, the struggle, in anything other than physical terms. The budget isn't balancing. Well, we've got a money problem. No, it's not really a money problem. It's a problem of being within your means according to the flesh. According to the flesh, what do we need? God knows that we have need of our daily bread. God knows that we have need of all these things, as the Bible talks about. So therefore, we should let them rest upon the Lord and realize that He will take care of us. Then it's all put in perspective, and we feel a lot better about our budget. People have an attitude of, well, if I just can't get over this hurdle over here, then I won't be able to accomplish anything in life. And they're talking about some sort of physical hurdle, some problem in the flesh they have with their health, some problem they have in a relationship, and they just can't get over how they feel about so-and-so, and they have ill feelings toward them, and they're holding it against them, and so forth. Therefore, I cannot have a close relationship with God. Well, certainly all of these things have spiritual connections, but our relationship with God will make all of these other things better, because in effect, all these other things come down to how you look at life as a matter of faith. Will you let God help you take care of these things? Do you realize that your struggle is not with these physical things and with these physical relationships? Your struggle is really against the devil himself and against his powers, against his temptations. Our fight is a spiritual fight. And once you can get your mind on straight, once you can get your soul turned in the direction of God, then you're open to all kinds of possibilities for His help. His Word lives within you then. And as it abides within you, none of these other things can touch you. You are in a state of blessedness. So our struggle in this life is indeed a struggle, but it's not against flesh and blood. It's not against the things where nations, you know, war against nations over properties of boundaries and physical lines and possessions. Instead, our fights are against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, he says, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, when he tells them to stand here, he doesn't say stand with a really good padded savings account. That's not Paul's message. When he tells them to stand, he doesn't say stand without any loving interest in your children, so when they disappoint you, it won't affect your life. He tells us to stand with the armor of God, and for us to have faith, the trust in God it takes to enter into this spiritual fight and win. And that's what all of us desire to do. At the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, we'd like to help you to win. We would like for you to help us to win. But the only way we can is to work together in service unto God, and to serve Him as the salt of the earth, as the light of the world, so that they see in us a better purpose, a better hope in life. So when He tells them there in Ephesians chapter 6 to stand, He says, stand having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But He says, above all, and that's really the message of this sermon, above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. If we can use the shield of faith to defeat the devil, then faith itself must be such a powerful thing. God has bestowed upon us and showed us the way of faith. Let's use faith then to have a greater trust in God and accomplish victory in our spiritual fight against the devil and all the things that he strives to throw against us while we live here on this earth. Well, we see here then that faith is a good thing, that we can use it in our spiritual fight. But exactly what is faith? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is not based upon some pie-in-the-sky idea where we're waiting for God to smack us upside the head and hit our soul with something through the work of the Holy Spirit. But faith is instead a function of what we decide we are going to put our trust in. Faith should be based on, if it's Bible faith, appropriate evidence. Faith gives us rise to a lively hope, not just wishing for something that might or might not occur. You know, I can wish right now all I'd want, that I could have a good, nice bowl of banana pudding, but that doesn't mean that I actually have it right here before me or have any prospect of having it right here before me anytime soon. It's just something I might wish for. Well, the Bible hope is steadfast and sure. And it is based upon something much more precious and much more certain than any common wish that we might have, like I said before, the pie-in-the-sky idea. The Bible faith is of substance, the substance of things hoped for. It's based on evidence, the evidence of things not seen. You don't have to see the end of faith. There are Bible passages that describe to us that the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ is something you don't have to have all calculated and figured out as to, well, exactly where all will this decision take me. If you know it's a good decision, and you know it's based upon true belief in our Lord Jesus Christ, then whatever else comes your way, you can handle it. So it says in the book of 2 Corinthians, where it talks to us about faith, and in chapter 5 and verse 7, that faith involves not necessarily seeing where you're headed with things. Now, I'm going to read to you the passage, but I'm building it up because I don't want you to have a misconception. When we say, well, I don't see it, but I have faith in it, you're not saying you don't have evidence in it. I know that George Washington was president of the United States, and I never personally met George Washington, never saw him. You can make a painting of something that's imaginary, so just because you see a painting of him, what does that mean? But we have enough evidence, not just the paintings, but all kinds of evidence, that he was indeed president of the United States. So, we know that fact, even though we don't actually see him here before us now. The historical things of the Bible are known to be true, and a Christian has evidence that they are true, even though we don't see exactly before us where all this is taking us in our lives. But our trust is in God. And this is the point of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Someone who is a skeptic, they say, well, if you take something away from me that's not in my line of sight, I no longer believe in it or know anything about it. In fact, they may not even really believe what's right in front of them. They become such a skeptic. And yet, a Christian knows that God has given us a more trusting way of life. Love believeth all things, hopes all things. If we combine our love for the Lord and our faith in Jesus Christ, we can accomplish great things in service unto God. Holy men of old were able to accomplish great things and move the whole history of mankind because of the great work that they did in service unto God because of their faith. Faith which they did not actually use to say, well, I can see where this is all headed in every minute detail. No, but you still know it to be true. Now, let me illustrate it like this. Let's say that you've died. You're going on unto heaven. When we get in heaven, are you going to say, well, I don't really trust in Jesus anymore? Of course you'll still trust in him. You see, faith doesn't die just because you have things before you that you can see in one way or another. What it means is that you attach yourself to this person and you know that what they are doing for you and with you is right. And no one is going to do right by us more than God. So God is taking us in life in places and in directions which we don't necessarily know what's waiting around the next corner. But I know that with the Lord's help, I can handle it. Faith is an abiding trust in God, and you do not necessarily see the object of that faith, but you know it exists, and you know that you're headed in the right direction. Now, faith means, in a common sense way, that you're taking God at His word. To take God at His word in every way is an important point. One time I was taking a course, and this course was on philosophy, as an introduction to philosophy or something like that, and it was taught by a Christian man, and the problem wasn't with the teachings of the course, but the problem is with philosophy in general. I got myself all turned around and acted as if nothing meant what it, really common sense ways means anymore, and so we had a test question, and it was, faith means to take God at His word. Well, I got to looking at it, and I thought, there's got to be something wrong with that. That must be false. And that just shows what philosophy will do to you. A little bit of it is dangerous and goes a long way. But anyway, the answer, of course, was true. And the professor had kept his head on straight and said, no, you said it's true. Well, just because we can learn a lot of good things doesn't mean you can forget what faith actually is and what it does for us. God says it, and that settles it, whether or not I believe it or anybody else does. When I take God at His word, I have a personal trust, a faithfulness unto God. If I keep on taking Him at His word, then I truly can be described as a faithful Christian. Way back in the Old Testament, In the book of Habakkuk, in chapter 2 and in verse 4, the Bible says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Now, to live by faith, as we sing the song about living by faith, means that we are going to be faithful unto God. We have a personal trust where we have attached ourselves unto the Lord. We have become obedient unto his will, and we will remain so. So it says, as a quote from Habakkuk 2 in verse 4, it says in Romans 1 verse 17, Paul said, "Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." In referring back to this passage in Habakkuk, Paul is talking about where no matter what walk of life we come from, we may be Gentiles, we may be Jews, we may be young, we may be old, we may be male, we may be female, wherever it is that we come from and whatever it is that we previously have experienced, all people are judged by God based upon their faithfulness, and they become just because they will live in that faithfulness, that abiding trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he guides us and shows us every good way and every good thing. Now, the Bible also sometimes talks about faith as far as the system of faith goes. Let me illustrate this to you like this. Let's say that I'm a mechanic. Now, I may be mechanically inclined, they say. You show me something, I can fix it. And I have all kinds of good knowledge as far as that goes, and I put it to use. And I stick with that job. Well, somebody would say then that you are a mechanical type person. You are mechanically inclined. But the study itself, that whole area of work, well, it's bigger than just me. I'm just a student of it. I'm just, you know, puttering around with this car or this truck or this vehicle one after another. I may be mechanically inclined, but the whole area of study, the whole subject itself, may be called mechanics or a study of mechanics. Well, similar to that, the Bible talks about us having individual faith or faithfulness unto Jesus Christ, but the whole subject of faith itself, the whole teaching of our Lord that we subject ourselves to, which you find in the Bible, that is the system of faith, or the faith, as the Bible talks about it. When the Bible mentions the faith, it's often not speaking of my individual faith as a Christian, but it's speaking of the system of faith as revealed in the Bible. If a person who is working as a mechanic gets a manual down for a particular vehicle, then he goes by that manual and he finds out how to fix the car. Well, the Bible is like that manual, a manual on the mechanics of the Christian religion. And this is many times referred to in the Bible as the faith. Galatians chapter 1 is a good illustration of that and helps us to see the different terms that are used to refer to the faith of Jesus Christ. And this is what is revealed by God. It says there in Galatians chapter 1 that Paul was working on persuading people over to the way of God, but he sought to please God in all things. He says in verse 10, "If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of God. But I certify you, brethren, of that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." So he's talking about and referring to the gospel that he preaches in Galatians 1 and verse 11. That's the subject of what he's talking about. "So he received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ," Galatians 1 and verse 12. And he says that, "You have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." And so he used to do bad things, but now he preaches the gospel. And he says that he profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him." Preach who? Preach Jesus. So, according to chapter 1, verse 16, to preach the gospel is the same as to preach Jesus. So when he learned about that, the way of Jesus Christ, he says, "I did not confer with flesh and blood. I did not go up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and I returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Other of the apostles I didn't see except James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not." He says, "Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ, but this is what they heard about Paul, He says he was preaching the gospel, he preached Jesus Christ, and it says in Galatians 1, verse 22, he was unknown to the Christian in the churches of Judea, but they heard that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. Galatians 1, verse 23. And they glorified God in me, Paul said. So according to Galatians 1 and verse 11, Paul was preaching the gospel. According to Galatians 1 and verse 16, Paul was preaching Christ. According to Galatians 1 and verse 23, Paul was preaching the faith. Sometimes the faith refers to the system of faith revealed in the scripture, the system of faith that everybody must subject themselves unto if they will be faithful unto God. If they will be faithful unto God, then day by day we must take God at his word. Day by day we must put our trust in him, even though we don't necessarily see where all this is leading us. We do know it's going to result in victory over death through Jesus Christ. And we have plenty of evidence to put our trust in him because we know the Lord in whom we serve, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And based upon this evidence, we take up our shield of faith and we serve God day by day, Ephesians chapter 6. Well, if you really believe that faith is necessary in your life, then all it takes to have greater faith is to, or one of the things that it takes, is to look to the book of Hebrews and find great examples of faith. You want to know how to serve God better? Go over there to that book and look at some great examples. Let me give you one. If you look at the life of Noah, he is a wonderful example of faith, a faith which shields us, keeps us from evil. Noah was living in the midst of a perverse and wicked generation. In his days, God decided that he would separate Noah and his family, the righteous, from the unrighteous, and he used water to accomplish that. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Noah did things. He moved with fear. He prepared an ark. He did what God told him to do. Now, God doesn't do your believing for you. God will not do your obedience for you. He offers salvation to us. The gift of salvation is open to all through Jesus Christ our Lord, and the grace of God has been revealed unto man, showing us that we should deny worldliness and ungodly lusts. But if we will not deny these worldly ways, if we will not forsake them, then God isn't going to force us to become a Christian. God is not going to make us believe while we are here. But there will become a day. And on that day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Have no doubt about that. It is coming, ladies and gentlemen. So, faith working in us when we willfully submit unto God and when we follow the examples of people who have served God faithfully before, this faith helps us to die right. Hebrews 11, once again, and in verse 13. These all died in faith, he says. He gives many different examples of faith there, and he says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Faith helps us die right. Faith helps us to evangelize our fellow man. It helps us to spread the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1, verse 16. Far from being despondent and feeling rejected, we live life as an adventure. We seek out the diamond in the rough, the precious soul that we might help to come along with us to receive the blessings of our Lord for all of eternity. Faith helps us to pray as we ought to pray. 1 John chapter 5, James chapter 1. Faith gives us the ability to pray unto God and receive wisdom and all good blessings from him. Faith lets us go into the battle with Satan with an appropriate defense. It gives us a hope and a trust that I can serve God and overcome any difficulty that may come my way. Now let's go back to the example of Noah and his faithfulness for just a moment. Noah being warned of God. What was God going to do? Well, he was going to destroy the world back then. Read Genesis chapter 6 and following. God was tired of all the sinfulness in the world. The thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. And as we see that they were living within the midst of all these sinful people, God said, I'm going to make a separation. So he was warned of God of things not seen as yet. As far as we know, Noah had never even seen rain. But he knew that if God's going to cause something to happen, it's going to happen. Well, you've never seen the destruction of the world, Noah. I mean, that would be a pretty unique event, right? So how are you going to really take trust in that, have faith in it? Well, because God tells me so, taking God at his word. And when God actually did separate the righteous from the unrighteous, what did he do? He used water. If you look in the book of 1 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verses 20 and 21, it says that spirits were sometimes disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. God, how did you use water? Well, he used it as a separating agent to separate the unrighteous from the righteous. So he sent the flood down on the earth, and it swallowed up all the people and the creatures, land-dwelling creatures back then. And so it says that this action by God is the like figure. That was like a type of what we practice today. Whereunto even baptism does also now save us. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No, there's nothing in H2O, plain old water, to save you. But in the response of faith, God uses water in order to separate us from our previous sinful lives. God says, that's the way I save you. And the question is who's going to listen to God today? Who will come in obedience unto the Lord Jesus Christ and responding to his way, say, God, I take you at your word. You have said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I come unto you, O Father. You're going to take away all of my sins through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Therefore, I'm going to obey the gospel. When you confess your faith in Jesus Christ and you are baptized into Christ, then you are in him. And you are to live faithfully for him every single day. If there's anything that we can do to help you, then why not consider this invitation of our Lord to come and be faithful, to attach your hope and trust in more than the physical things that you see in front of your eyes that we long for and the devil tempts us to live for day by day. Instead, focus your faith upon the risen Lord Jesus Christ, the one who will take us all home to be in heaven. And as you do, if there is any way that we can assist you, from the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, then give us a call, 487-5342. If there's any way that we can assist you at all, write to us. We'd love to study the Bible with you and correspond with you, P.O. Box 266, Tompkinsville, Kentucky, 42167, and come and visit with us at our worship services. You're welcome at any and every time that we meet together here at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. So come out and be with us, even this morning. Bible study at 9:30, worship starts shortly after 10, and then Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. We meet in the middle of the week for Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Come out and be with us. We will do thee good. Let's learn to serve God together and be more faithful unto him. And I thank you for listening. I'm Tim McHenry.